We finished yesterday, last time we finished Aleph, Beis. Oitzar Sheyeda, Shamotze Zezpor Shmoy, Ein Amitas Mitzu Usoy, Museges Lozose Klau. His Mitzias is something that cannot be nitfas by something else, by somebody else. V'rak ze noidaboy, shumotsu sholem chomine shleimus, enzo chesaron klau. So, the Ramchal is addressing an issue that's real. We want to talk about Ribbono Shel'olam. We say things about Ribbono Shel'olam, whether it's in davening, whether it's in learning, whatever it is. So, we have a problem. If anything we say is not true, but you have to say something. You know, when I speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, his chesed is not really the way in which we feel chesed inside. Chochma, all of these things are very different. So we're stuck over here. If we want to say anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have to use terms that make sense to us. On the other hand, the terms that make sense to us are not real. So the way in which we deal with it is as follows. There are at some point matter becomes too small for us to be seen or to be grasped. So no one has and will ever see an electron or a proton or a neutron or any part of an atom. So we can't say anything about it be'etzem, but we have many things that come out of it. When I have a stream of electrons, I have a current flowing and the light goes on. When certain particles move through water, the bubbles go and follow it and so on. So there are many things that are like an iceberg. There's a small tip on top or a large tip on top, and a lot underneath it. So I can say certain things about it from my point of view. So from my point of view, this happens, and I can describe it as such, and I'll be saying things that are true, even though they're not the complete truth. Let's take another example. Imagine somebody was born blind, and he picks up a lot of vocabulary about sight. But Lemaisa, he doesn't really know what sight is, but having heard how it's used, and so Lemaisa, you know, somebody says, hey, it's so dark in here, I can't see anything. Put the light on. So he understands that there's something called light that allows for vision to take place. He understands that the eyelids to some people are like earbuds to him for hearing. So he can know certain things about it when he contrasts it or compares it with his own experiences, but can't really know it essentially. So we can say many things about Hashem. When Hashem makes us feel good, then we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy with us. Because for me, somebody who's nice to me and makes me feel good is happy with me. He's pleased with what I'm doing. So I can transfer that idea to me, and I, as long as I bear in mind that I'm using a term that is correct in some way, I'm fine with it. So the truth is, this issue is in all of Torah. Yad Hashem Charoin Af, Eini Hashem Tomit, and so on. Shemei Hashem. All of those are words that taken literally are precursors, but they're true. In other words, just like hearing means that my desires have registered with you, when I tell you I would like to have a coffee and you say, yes, I hear, that means it's registered and you could respond. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears us, it's when we get a response. So we're filling in a certain blank with a term that's essentially not true, but it's true for us. The Rambam's Mor Nevucha, people make a big mistake about the Mor Nevucha. They say it was written for people confused about Emunah, so on and so forth. that's not the confusion he's talking about. The confusion he's talking about is people that are maminim and they learn Tanakh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has physical features and everything's full of physical things. And this is where he talks about this point. So the Rambam is the one who makes this point. And he says you are, and he says it more, he says why the Torah does it. He says because, or else it wouldn't have the impact for the simple people that it should. So Lemushel, if I tell you that, you know, the punishment for doing an aver is Gehenim, and yes, and what's Gehenim? I say, well, it's this ruchnistic sphere that's between this and this and that. I don't know how much of a deterrent it would be for doing averes. It might actually not serve as a great deterrent. But if I tell you, did you ever sit on a hot plate by accident? Well, imagine that 5 times as hot all day long. And then we're starting, you know, whatever. So that has more of an impact. It's something you can feel. It's something that you can sense it. So the Torah needs to say, you know, Charoin Af Hashem, so that you get the message, or else for most people, some sort of philosophical, Kabbalistic, whatever it is not going to do it for them. That is the Rambam, and that's what he explains. The Rambam also says together, what terms can we use in describing, or times, what terms does the Torah use? Anything that's that we consider to be positive, we can't. With Asher, we can say Hashem has deemed it, is angry at us, and therefore he's not giving rain. That we can say because being angry and punishing is seen as being sort of positive in that sense. I can't say Hashem's a cheapskate and doesn't want to give any rain. It's because that's a negative term. And the same thing is true with the features of the body. The hand and the feet are terms that are complementary to us. And, you know, it's at least neutral. So we can use it, Yad Hashem, and V'om D'Raglo V'Yemahu. We cannot use something that's not complementary, that's something that's K'nai and so on. That's the Rambam Shita. The world of Kabbalah has the same thing. Kabbalah is speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not, and we'll redefine that in a minute, if that's not true either. But we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to say something. We can't say a bechina that we don't understand deals with a bechina we don't understand, and then another bechina follows which we also don't understand. Then basically we have not understanding cubed. It doesn't give us anything. What we do is there are terms, and these terms have meaning vis-a-vis us. So when we speak about a sphera, and we speak about a certain anhaga, that anhaga has meaning. And we can describe it physically. So a person's hands act in a certain way. A person's right hand and left hand act a little differently. So those are descriptions that are used to sort of describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with us. So 2 points. Kabbalah, like anything else, cannot deal with Hashem himself. And that's why anything we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order this, in order that, all these things, it's our look, it's our sense of things. And we use these terms as mishalim, but the Motzes Basha in Rishosim says Zilchal, because and it's just like we said last time, if we define a Kadosh Baruch Hu as something that does not need anything for it to exist, we don't have anything like it. We don't have anything like it. Nothing in our world. And it's not, nothing happens to not need a reason to exist. Our mind can't do the math of something that doesn't need a reason to exist. It's simply outside of our mind. So b'meila, the what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is outside of our mind. It is not something grasped by our mind, period. And that's that. There's no need to, you are defining it. You're saying the limits of your mind is it doesn't understand it, so therefore anything that we deal with it, we deal with it in terms of a mashal. And he says, so the Rambam says, we can't use a mashal that is derogatory in any way. And his criteria is, we cannot attribute a deficiency to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the one thing we cannot say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's lacking, he couldn't or didn't, and so on. Now he says, so you're going to ask me a very good question. I'm about to write a safe about something that we can't know. So, I mean, you know, where am I coming from? The Ulam, Devarim Eilu Yedanim Mikabolim and others in Avim. This understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the understanding that we do have, that we got from a Messiah, from our Avos and Avim, V'sigum Kol Yisrael B'mayim Har Sinai, all of Kol Yisrael understood it B'mayim Har Sinai, V'omdu Al Mitosim B'Veirur, they understood it clearly, V'limdum Levneim Dor Achador Kayem Azeh, and we have it B'Messiah, Shekein Tzivu Moshe Rabbeinu Al Vashon Pi HaGvura, Pentishka Chazedor Shainecha, Adamadakhayonecha. So these Yesodos and Ikrim about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the world, are part of Maseiros HaTorah. And it sort of goes in hand with what I said before. We couldn't come up with this because we don't know really what we're talking about. So unless the fundamentals are there in place, we couldn't have come up with these things. Omnam, he says, however, Gam Mitzarech HaKira B'Moysen Mudim Ye Omsukan Yon Elo. You can use logic to logic in order to confirm all these things. So he says, post facto, we can use the world around us and the truth that we know to build up this truth. So, seichel can be used as something to help and confirm and maybe give us another handle on this information, but the sheirish of it, to say that it's emes and so on and so forth, so it's just like if you take a science book and the teacher goes and gives experiments to confirm it. He's starting with the hanacha that what's in the science book is true, and the experiments are there not that we should figure out if true. We should get a feel for it, it as regards its truth and so on. So he says, so from all as we can get, I'm not going to be myrich in this point. I'm not going to go into proofs and fleshing it out, all these arguments logically. I'm just going to keep giving over the Messiahs that we have. So in other words, he's saying there's what to talk about each of these points and sort of speak, buttress them through reason and logic, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give the points as we have them in Messiahs. Okay, we'll hold it here.